Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Michael Cohen, producer James Platy on the board, 646 in Lansing. Thanks for sticking around with us. Okay, with Governor Snyder set to sign it any day now, what exactly are families with autistic children going to see happen once mandated autism coverage kicks in? And how costly and effective are the current treatments that are now available to treat autism? To find out, I'm joined by the president of the Mid-Michigan Autism Association, Dr. Mary Sharp. Mary, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you are a mother of an autistic child yourself. How do you view this legislation and the coverage it was going to provide? Is this the most comprehensive coverage you could have asked for, or is it still lacking in some noticeable ways?
It is not the most comprehensive thing. You know, it isn't the everything on the wish list, but it is such a change from before and after that it's just a huge foundational difference. That what this means is that Michigan is now going to become a state that can actually develop an infrastructure of competent therapists who are doing evidence-based therapies that have been demonstrated to, if not dramatically improve, significantly improve the outcome for individuals on the spectrum.
So at a cost of tens of thousands of dollars a year, how have you yourself and other parents been dealing with covering those kinds of expensive treatments up till now?
Well, unfortunately, my son, fortunately, he's 22 years old. Unfortunately, when he was being diagnosed and starting to get treatment, there were not any therapists who specialized that in Mid-Michigan. And even now, we do not have any board-certified behavior analysts in the Mid-Michigan area. But they're going to start to be now because they're going to be able to make a living at it. We were fortunate enough to be able to afford lots of help, though we were not able to find people who had offered specific therapy. But there are many, many examples of people in urban areas where you can get good quality help, who have had to mortgage the house, have had to sell the house, who've gone into a huge amount of debt to get their children what they felt were major needed treatment early. Of course, the earlier you get the children diagnosed and the earlier you get your interventions, it's sort of like the bigger bang for the buck you get.
Now, the coverage is going to be $50,000 a year for children under 7 years old. What kind of treatment, if you could be, focus on one or two primary ones, what kind of treatment are we really talking about here?
Well, the treatment that has the most evidence demonstrating its effectiveness is something called ABA treatment, Applied Behavior Analysis. And this is a full certification program that is, it's a very specific kind of education and a very specific kind of credentialing that occurs with that. Just because they allow up to $50,000 does not mean that every child will need $50,000 worth of therapy. In fact, there are some children who, with early diagnosis and sort of a mild or moderate penetration of the disorder, may benefit from $10,000 or $25,000 for 2 years, and that would be what they need. So it's not like every kid with autism is going to need $50,000 worth of therapy, but a child with severe impairments may need $50,000 for several years. Mm-hmm. But that kind of intervention, 50% of the kids who get effective early intervention will not be going through the special education track. They'll be graduating from high school, getting post-secondary education, going on to employability, and, of course, taxpaying.
I see. Basically, fully incorporating into society as a productive member.
Right.
I'm talking to Dr. Merritt.
40% of the remaining children will do significantly better than they otherwise would have.
I see. This is Dr. Mary Sharp. She is the president of the Mid-Michigan Autism Association. Mary, the CDC announced last week that autism rates continue to go up, and I'm guessing that any parent with an autistic child wants to know why. Is there any recent theory that has made particular sense to you as to why we're seeing ever-increasing rates of autism?
Well, because I'm a physician, I'm kind of a boring, generalized answer to that. What I truly believe is that there will turn out to be multiple genetic focuses of vulnerability, and then we're going to find multiple environmental stressors that cause that genetic vulnerability to manifest itself as the neurologic symptom complex that we call autism spectrum disorder.
Now, autism has no real cure. So how effective is the treatment then in helping children become productive members and not being reliant on anybody else? And what is the best outcome a parent can hope for?
Well, I think as with any child, we want a happy, productive, independent individual. That's what we want for all our kids. But the studies do suggest that children who receive early interventions, 50% will go on to full employability, 40% will go on to significant improvement, and then, of course, there's going to be a 10% that are pretty refractory to any kind of intervention. And those are the individuals who may end up being dependent on the government, on society for support throughout the course of their lifetime. The actuarial studies that have been done in other states who have had autism insurance in place, that's the kinds of findings that they're coming up with. It is estimated at this point that it's $3.6 million for the cost of an individual with severe autism who doesn't get intervention.
Now, coverage ends at 18 years old. Is that enough? Do you think that if autism treatment is pursued throughout childhood, there really is no need for further therapy as an adult with autism?
Well, no. I think it's supposed to be individualized. And certainly with the availability of therapists, I would like to have my 22-year-old have the possibility of us getting help with our insurance to get effective therapy paid for. But maybe that'll go around the next time we get some legislation passed.
Now, one thing that came up during the debate over this bill or these bills is that there is not full parity for mental illness coverage and mandating equal coverage for all illnesses. That apparently is still something that state lawmakers are not in favor of. Is there any reason that you can point to or for autism to be given a priority in Michigan over other mental illnesses?
There's a number of fairly complicating factors. One is that autism is specifically listed in many commercial policies as being specifically excluded, where you don't find that with, bipolar disease or schizophrenia. You don't see them singled out as not being included. I, as a family physician, of course, am a complete fanatical proponent of mental health parity. It's ludicrous that people can continue to smoke and not manage their blood pressure or diabetes, and they keep getting their heart, interventions paid for. I mean, that's like nuts. But people who have, like, bipolar disease can't get help with a psychiatrist's bill because their insurance doesn't cover it. That's just like completely nuts. But there are historical reasons why autism has been carved out specifically. Some of the qualifiers would say autism or other developmental disabilities, but most psychiatric disease has not been singled out. And so that's why. Also, of the 30 states that have passed legislation, I think something like 26 of them had pre-existing mental health parity, but because the ABA therapy has not been included in traditional mental health riders, they have had to go back and specifically include the ABA type evidence-based therapies, and that's why most of, like, 26 of the 30 states had to go back and do autism legislation in addition to the existing mental health parity they already had in place.
Dr. Mary Sharp, president of the Mid-Michigan Autism Association. Dr. Sharp, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Very enlightening stuff.
Thank you so much.